Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. In our studies this week, we're looking at how to respond to those who teach that baptism is necessary in order to be saved, or those that say that the purpose of baptism is to receive the remission or forgiveness of sins. In our study yesterday, we focused on the historical development of this doctrine starting from the 19th century and looking how it has modern-day equivalents. For the rest of the week, we'll look at specific scriptures which these groups use to support their position and how to refute this false teaching. Today, we're going to be focusing on the verse which is cited most often in support of the claim that baptism is the means by which God cleanses or brings about forgiveness of sins, and that is Acts 2, verse 38, which reads, "Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, the issue relates to this term that's translated in English, for. It is a Greek preposition, eis. And today we're going to analyze the meaning of this preposition, the different ways it can be translated, and what it's trying to communicate. In the different translations that we have, for example, the King James Version and the New King James uses the word for, the ASV uses the word unto, and Campbell, who we looked at yesterday, had a translation of the Bible called the Living Oracles. He translated it in order to, which is communicating the idea for the purpose of receiving forgiveness of sins. Now, as we look at this text, the phrase for the remission of sins can mean a lot of things because the word in English for has a variety of meanings. I think it's pretty obvious that the word for does not always mean in order to or for the purpose of. It can mean in order to or for the purpose of. It could also mean in behalf of or on account of or with respect to. It has some 26 different meanings. And like any word, the context has to determine that meaning. Let me give you an example just in English of the different ways the word for could be used in four different sentences in relationship to calling a doctor. Number one, I called the doctor for my child. And that would be on behalf of my child. My child was sick, so I called the doctor. The second way, I called the doctor for my illness. That would be because I have an illness, so I need to find out what the doctor could do about it. And obviously, it wouldn't mean purpose. I don't call the doctor so that I could get an illness. Third, I called the doctor for the bill. That means I wanted to get the bill because I've already been there. Or number four, I called the doctor for an appointment. So you can see how the word for in English is ambiguous, and it depends on the context and the way that someone is using it. And actually, that's true of the preposition eis, which is translated as for here in the New King James. And today I want to look at that preposition, look at it in context, and look at what other scholars have said about this word. Now, the preposition eis is used at least 1,700 times in the New Testament. And in relation to translating it in order to, it's not found once. And the King James Version has this term 1,699 times, and it's never translated in order to. Campbell, in his Living Oracles, uses it four times in comparison to 1,696 times translated in a different way. And no lexicon ever gives the primary meaning or the secondary meaning of this word as in order to. So we see this 19th century movement that began to emphasize that baptism is necessary for salvation was completely biased in their translation and looking at this word. Now, in analyzing what the Greek lexicons communicate about this word, now a lexicon is just basically a Greek dictionary defining words, just as we have an English dictionary, you'd look up the word and see what it means. Now, the most common meaning is with reference to or in relation to or concerning. Now, the preposition eis can communicate the idea for the purpose of, but we have to look at the context, and we have to also realize that there's a number of meanings that this preposition has. At this point, I want to look at what six different Greek scholars have said about the meaning of this word. And my point for doing this is to show that this word has a number of ways in which it could be translated, as well as I don't want you just to take my word for it, but to look at what experts in the field say about this word. J.H. Thayer, who wrote the Greek-English Lexicon of the New Testament, when he defines this word, the first meanings he gives are into, to, towards, for, and among. And then in broadening it out and trying to describe it, he mentions the term of reference or in relation to, meaning with respect to, in reference to, or as regards. And then putting that idea in Acts chapter 2:38, we're baptized in reference to the forgiveness of sins. Not for the purpose of, but in regards to or in relationship to the idea of forgiveness of sins. And that's consistent with the rest of the New Testament and the purpose of baptism. We're baptized not in order to gain forgiveness of sins, but it's a demonstration of the fact that we already have received forgiveness of sins. So in that sense, it's in reference to forgiveness of sins or in regards to the fact that I am forgiven. Now, I do need to point out, to be honest, that in Thayer's lexicon on page 94, under the word baptizo, which is our term baptize, he does make the claim where he writes the term eis, ephesin hamartion, which is for the forgiveness of sins, means, and I quote, to obtain the forgiveness of sins. And he quotes Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now, the Campbellites and others who believe that baptism is necessary for salvation love to quote the scholar on this point. But I need to point out two things about this. First of all, Thayer came from a church which held to baptismal regeneration or the idea that one needed to be baptized in order to be saved. And we need to realize that none of us are free from the influence of the church that we belong to on our theology. Second of all, what needs to be pointed out is that this is under the term describing baptism. And he's making a theological point and not a point relating to the study of the words. And so what he's doing is theology in a Greek lexicon. And that does happen, but it needs to be understood that he's not basing it on the meaning of the words. He's basing it on his theology that he holds. And so we need to be careful of that. Now, a modern scholar that I would highly recommend today is Spyros Zodiotis. And he wrote an excellent work called The Complete Word Study of the New Testament. What he has is a New Testament and then basically a note on every word relating to the Greek in the New Testament. And on this passage, in reference to Acts 2:38, he wrote the following. The main verb in the verse is to repent. This refers to that initial repentance of a sinner unto salvation. The verb translated baptized is in the indirect passive imperative of baptizo, which means that it does not have the same force as the direct command of repent. The preposition for in the phrase for the remission of sins in Greek is the term eis or unto. Literally, it means for the purpose of identifying you with the remission of sins. The same preposition is used in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2 in the phrase, and were all baptized unto, or eis, Moses. These people were identifying themselves with the work and ministry of Moses. Repentance is something that concerns an individual and God, while baptism is intended to be a testimony to other people. So his point is, here, it's not for the purpose of, but for the purpose of identifying themselves with the forgiveness of sins that's found in the name of Jesus Christ. A third scholar, which is well known in the Church of Jesus Christ today, is A.T. Robertson. And in his work, Word Pictures of the New Testament, he writes about the meaning of the term eis in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the following. It says, another usage, which is just as good Greek as the use of eis for aim or purpose, it seems in Matthew 10:41, there are three examples where it reads, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And that's where the Greek term eis is translated in this passage. He goes on to say, here it cannot be purpose or aim, but rather on the basis or ground. On the basis of the name of a prophet, a righteous man, or a disciple, because one is. Another example that he cites is Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, which reads, the men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment with this generation, condemn it, because, and that's the term eis, they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And he says, they repented at the preaching of Jonah. They repented because of or at the preaching of Jonah. Then he also went on to say, in reference to the term eis in Acts 2:38, he said this, one will decide the use here according to as he believes that baptism is essential to the remission of sins or not. My view is decidedly against the idea that Peter, Paul, or anyone in the New Testament taught that baptism is essential to the remission of sins or the means of securing such remission. The four scholars, Dana and Manti, who wrote A Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament, and commenting on this passage, they say the following. When one considers in Acts 2:38 repentance as self-renunciation and baptism as a public expression of self-surrender to Christ, which significance it certainly had in the first century, the expression eis ephesin ton harmartion may mean for the purpose of the remission of sins. But if one stresses baptism without its early Christian import as a ceremonial means of salvation, he does violence to Christianity as a whole. For one of its striking distinctions from Judaism and paganism is that it is a religion of salvation by faith, while all others teach salvation by works. Those are some strong words. He calls that position as doing violence to Christianity as a whole. The fifth scholars, Liddell and Scott, who in their lexicon do not offer in order to as a possibility for the translation of ice. The last scholar is Kenneth Wiest. In his New Testament, an expanded translation, translated Acts 2:38 the following way. It says, "And let each one of you be baptized upon the ground of your confession of belief in the sum total of all that Jesus Christ is in his glorious person. This baptismal testimony being in relation to the fact that your sins have been put away." So he communicated the idea that baptism here is not for the purpose of gaining salvation, but is in relation to the fact that that's true, that one's sins have already been put away. Now, this is a translation or an expanded translation, and it's not a lexicon, but it does reveal how this excellent Greek scholar understood the passage. Now, the main point that I'm trying to bring out, although I went through a rather technical way to prove it, it's obvious that there are a number of meanings for the term ice. Thus, to base a theological issue and one that relates to someone's eternal salvation or eternal damnation based on one controversial preposition, I believe would place someone on shaky grounds, to say the least, and is actually poor theology and poor hermeneutics. In our study tomorrow, we'll continue to look at Acts 2:38 and offer some more proof that the passage does not mean to be baptized so that one could receive the forgiveness of sins.